Good afternoon. My name is Susan Muirhead, and today I'll be reading part one of the News Gazette, dated for this state, Tuesday, October 16th, 2018. Let's begin with some of today's headlines. The first headline reads, NAACP of Champaign County, The Right Recipe. Young restaurateur committed his life to helping others. This article is written by Noelle McGee and is based out of Champaign. For the past 2 years, Sahil, that's S-A-H-I-L, a contractor, has missed his family's Thanksgiving dinner to feed the homeless and others who were alone for the holiday. When asked why, the young owner of two Wingstop restaurants, including one at 512 South Neal Street in Champaign, simply says, "I've been so blessed in my life." For holding his annual Wingsgiving event and making other contributions, the Champaign man will be awarded the NAACP of Champaign County's Unity in the Community Award at its annual Freedom Fund banquet on Friday. Sahil has committed his life to helping others, said Lucretia Williams, who nominated contractor. He was taught from a very early age what a blessing it is to share with others and give back to those in need without expectations of receiving something in return, continued Williams, who heard about contractor and his free food giveaway on Thanksgiving through a TV news report. I thought, who does this? I immediately went to Wingstop to meet him. Being a business owner myself, I was just really impressed by his life and his passion for community service. It's really heartwarming. Contractor was born in Chicago and grew up in Arlington Heights. After graduating from Rolling Meadows High School in 2012, he studied business management at a community college in Palatine, but later dropped out. "School really wasn't for me," he explained. "I'm more of a hands-on person. So when the restaurant came up for sale, I thought it would be a great opportunity for me to start my career and test myself because the business was performing so poorly to see if I could turn it around." Contractor was only 21 when he bought the franchise in August 2015 from his father, Chicago-area businessman Salil Contractor, and his father's business partners. Prior to that, the restaurant had been losing $3,000 to $4,000 a month. The son took a different managerial approach. "It was a matter of me being in the restaurant from open to close 7 days a week and learning the community," said Contractor, who managed to turn around the finances in 8 months or so. Last week, he broke $1 million in sales and won a company award. "Hospitality is my number one priority," he continued, explaining that he and his small staff bring guests' orders to their tables, refill their drinks, bus their tables, and thank them for stopping by when they leave. "Basically, I treat customers how I want to be treated times 10. It's all about their dining experience, and I don't take a dime of anyone's business for granted." He and his dad, who owns and operates a number of Wingstops and Dunkin' Donuts in the Chicago area, opened a Springfield area location last December. The younger contractor held his first Wingsgiving in 2016. During the event, from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., he and his staff, who volunteered their time, served 600 to 700 free meals consisting of 5 boneless wings, fries, a dinner roll, and a drink. "It's not just the homeless," he said. "A lot of college kids can't go home or be with their family, so it's really for anyone who doesn't have a warm meal. Last year, we were slightly lower, but I didn't do any marketing," Contractor continued. "This year, we're doing a huge campaign. I want to do at least 1,000 meals minimum in Champaign and in Springfield as well." In addition to the Wingsgiving events, Contractor sponsors a Christmas toy drive. Last year, he also put on an Easter egg hunt at Crystal Lake Park, benefiting Carl's pediatric unit. Contractor is also a songwriter and a recording artist who has released a couple of melodic hip-hop songs under the name Illy. That's I-L-L-I. He hopes to start his own label, called Signature Music, which he'll use to give back on a much larger scale, quote-unquote. Until then, he wants to continue to help the Champaign and Springfield communities and inspire other business owners to do the same. 600 people might be a small number, but that's 600 people that didn't have anything prior to that. The next headline reads, Election 2018. Treasurer candidates can't reach debate date. Pressing has forum all to herself on Wednesday. This article is written by Deborah Pressy and is based out of Urbana. Champaign County Treasurer candidate Laurel Pressing said she plans to go ahead with the debate she's scheduled for this week, even though her opponent, incumbent John Farney, won't be there. The event is scheduled for 7:30 p.m. at the Urbana Free Library Auditorium and is projected to last a half hour with only one candidate present. "I want to talk about why I'm running for treasurer and answer people's questions," Pressing said. She hasn't gotten an opportunity to debate issues with Varney, she said. He turned down both a candidate's form, sponsored by the League of Women Voters, NAACP, and the News Gazette, and also said he can't attend the debate she scheduled herself at the library. This is the only countywide office in which there hasn't been a debate, she said. Varney said he and Pressing have already taken part in a candidate's breakfast forum, sponsored by the Champaign County Chamber of Commerce on October 11th, and they will both be participating in another forum being sponsored by the Ministerial Alliance of Champaign-Urbana and Vicinity at 6 p.m. October 26th at St. Luke CME Church in Champaign. As for the other two opportunities, Varney said he had prior commitments on both, or for both of those nights, or events. On the night of the League of Women Voters, NAACP, and News Gazette Forum, I was cooking for about 250 people at my church, he said. On the night Pressing chose for her own scheduled debate, he said he has multiple commitments. She did not offer multiple dates, he said. She chose a date on which I had multiple commitments. Pressing said she had sent Varney a letter several weeks ago about the debate proposal, a letter Varney said he never received. By the time Pressing spoke to him about it at the Chamber of Commerce event last week, Varney said he was already booked for that night. I'm more than happy to debate former Urbana Mayor Pressing. But the problem is when you spring something on someone, he said, we're all very busy. It's campaign season. Pressing said the Chamber Candidates Forum didn't offer a debate opportunity, and neither will the upcoming forum being held by the Ministerial Alliance. Plus, the Ministerial Alliance forum is coming pretty close to Election Day, she said, and many people will have voted by then. A key issue Pressing said she wants to get across before people vote is her belief that the county treasurer should be doing more than the statutory minimum requirements of the job. They've been focusing on the bare minimum, she said. While the new county executive will be responsible for drafting the county budget, Pressing said she sees an opportunity for the county treasurer and county auditor to become advisors in that process and tackle the county's financial problems as a team. I want to look at all the spending and all the revenues and see where the problems are and deal with the most serious problems first, she said. Varney said he's filling all statutory responsibilities as treasurer. A treasurer is the county's banker, according to the Illinois Association of County Board Members and Commissioners. The treasurer is responsible for the safekeeping and investment of public funds, which includes receiving and distributing public funds such as taxes and keeping an accurate amount accounting of money taken in and paid out. What Pressing proposes isn't part of the statutory duties of a county treasurer, Varney contended. I can offer advice, but I have no statutory role in the budgetary process, he said. How he views the treasurer's job is fulfilling his statutory role well, Varney said. Collecting and distributing taxes accurately and on time is something everybody depends on, and taxing districts, especially school districts, sometimes waiting on stalled state payments, need their property tax money on time, he said. All it takes is one self-serving politician to throw all that off, Varney said. The next headline reads, University of Illinois, Faculty Senate on Board with Post-Illiniwek Campus Plan. This article is written by Julie Wirth and is based out of Urbana. Chancellor Robert Jones's effort to bring some resolution to the decades-long Chief Illiniwek debate won the support of a somewhat divided campus Senate on Monday, but not without a lengthy discussion. The Senate voted 64-29 with 8 abstentions to support a resolution offered by education professor Nick Berbules that supports Jones's Critical Conversations initiative, calling it a good-faith effort to heal campus divisions over the issue and to seek a sustainable way forward. The Chancellor's initiative has brought key parties and constituencies together from all sides of this issue for a respectful exchange of ideas and views in a spirit of positive commitment toward finding a resolution, the resolution stated. A report from last spring's conversation on the chief recommended that the university commemorate the chief's history on campus and explore the possibility of a mascot along with other new traditions. Jones has said he wants the campus to develop new traditions, but hasn't committed to a new mascot. Among other objections, Professor Stephen Kaufman and others argued that the process laid out in the 88-page report would take too long to implement. The first recommendation called for both a 1-year and a 5-year timeline of actionable next steps, quote-unquote. After 30 years of debate that involved all constituencies, what this appears to represent is a delay tactic to avoid more immediate action. In reality, all recommendations in the report and resolution could easily be fulfilled by the end of this semester, Kaufman argued in prepared remarks. He also said it's time for campus to move ahead with a new mascot, as the student government has urged, saying 5 years is too long to wait. What do you need to hear to move the campus on this issue? Kaufman asked Jones. Addressing that point and others, Jones relinquished his role chairing Monday's meeting and stepped to the floor microphone to reiterate that he's working to create a coalition of the willing to find a path forward for the campus. A task force asked to come up with an implementation plan is already in the works, and its work should only take 4 or 5 months, Jones said. He said no one envisions a 5-year process. That, I think, kind of changed the discussion a little bit, Babule said later. People saw his honest desire to produce an outcome that will bring the campus together and not continue to divide it. Perboules and other senators noted that the resolution didn't endorse every item in the report, but rather the overall process to bring some resolution to the decades-old debate. Perboules said he didn't agree with every recommendation and personally believes that it's long past time for a new mascot. To me, the question is, how do you get there? We could pick a new mascot tomorrow. It would be booed at sporting events. It would just become a new subject of division. The challenge is not to move forward on a new mascot, but bring the community together around some unifying outcome, he said. That may or may not include a new mascot. An outcome that people feel is forced on them won't work, he said. We have to get them around the table. The next headline reads, Weapons Charge. Man arrested on felon possession count. This article is written by Tim Mitchell and is based out of Urbana. An Urbana man is in the Champaign County Jail after police found him with a handgun Sunday night. Antoine, that's A-N-T-O-I-N-E, Lee Wallace, age 37, who listed an address in the 1800 block of South Cottage Grove Avenue, was charged Monday with one felony count of being an armed habitual criminal and one count of aggravated assault of a police officer. Wallace's bond was set at $100,300. He is due back in court November 6th. The arrest stemmed from a 911 call made at 9:50 p.m. from the 600 block of Golden View Drive in Champaign. When the person who made the call, suddenly hung up, officers went to the scene to investigate. When they arrived, they found a man identified as Wallace with a handgun. Police recovered the handgun and arrested him. No information was available Monday night concerning the alleged aggravated assault of a police officer. And now we're going to take a look at our weather forecast for the next week. This is provided to us by Greg Soule and his column on the weather front. Chilly weather will trail cold fronts, leading to significantly below normal temps across the plains, Midwest, and Northeast. Warmth will linger across the lower Southeast. Above normal temps will also cover much of the far West, with mild weather returning later in the week to northern sections of the Rockies and plains. Dry weather will prevail through week's end from the Pacific coast to the northern plains and upper Midwest. Periods of rain will persist across the south, with the highest totals, locally 2 to 6 inches or more, expected in Texas and portions of neighboring states. Parts of the Four Corner states will also receive some precipitation in the form of both rain and snow showers. Greg Soule, a professional meteorologist since 1985, offers national agricultural weather forecasts at www.agbizweek.com. So today, 56 degrees. Widespread frost early, sunny, becoming windy, not as cool. West to southwest wind increasing to 15 to 25 miles per hour, gusty. Overnight, not quite as chilly, mostly clear, southwest to west winds, 8 to 16 miles per hour. Wednesday, the high will be 53, the low will be 30. Mostly sunny, northwest wind 8 to 16 miles per hour, gusty. Overnight, clear, cold, a freeze late. Thursday, the high will be 55, the low is 37. Widespread frost early, sunny. Friday, the high will be 56 degrees, the low is 37. It will be mostly cloudy, breezy, an isolated shower in spots late. Chance of rain is at 30%. Saturday, the high is 56, the low is 38. Partly cloudy. Illini football at Madison, Wisconsin. Kickoff temperature, 43 degrees. Northwest wind, 15 miles per hour. Gusty, partly sunny. And now let's take a look at top of the morning. Something to get you going today, courtesy of Jim Rosso. Each week, throughout the 2018-19 school year, we turn our Snapchat account over to a high school confidential correspondent. On Friday, it's Miranda Fairbanks' turn to show what makes Unity High School so cool. The senior from Sadorus wanted to do before her. She wanted to do this before her cross-country season ended. Regionals are Saturday. Headed to college to study business, the 17-year-old's goal is to be an active businesswoman whom people respect, she said, with a happy family. Follow along during Friday's Snapchat takeover by searching for News Gazette on the app. Until then, you can follow Fairbanks on Twitter. Her handle is @MirandaF77, or on Instagram. Her handle is MirandaFairbanks_, or on Snapchat, Miranda.Fair, that's F-A-I-R, 7. At newsgazette.com, here's what was trending at our website, which in a 7-day period ending Sunday saw 1,340,676 page views. The three top stories were 1, U of I homecoming parade called off, 2, Fairmount man killed in crash, and 3, accused kidnapper's wife files for divorce. The top three sports stories were 1, Williams dismissed from U of I football team, 2, Inside Illini basketball, preseason Big Ten ballot, and 3, Walker has Illini in Final Four. The three top videos, 1, Open Practice draws a crowd, 2, Dudek reflects on injury, career, 3, Homecoming Tour, Illini Football Performance Center. And the three top photo galleries, 1, 40 Under 40 Luncheon, 2018, 2, The Doobie Brothers, 2018, 3, The Way We Were, Lincoln Square Mall. And history, in area history, in 1918, ex-All-American quarterback Archie Weston was listed as dangerously ill at the Chanute Field Hospital with influenza. In 1968, the University of Illinois Board of Trustees approved a $382.8 million operating budget for the three campuses. In 2003, two Monticello restaurant owners said they would like to establish sidewalk cafes outside their downtown establishments, but they would not be able to serve beer and wine on the sidewalks unless the city amended its liquor ordinance to allow outside sales of alcohol. And in international history on this date, in 1758, American lexicographer Noah Webster was born in Hartford, Connecticut. The next headline reads, Gun Violence in Champaign, Sixth Fatality. CPD, no known link to gang connection. An autopsy has been scheduled today for Arnold F. Hopkins, age 35, who early Sunday became Champaign's sixth fatal shooting victim of 2018. Mr. Hopkins was pronounced dead at his home in the 2600 block of Lawndale Drive at 5:15 a.m. Sunday. There's no available information to suggest Sunday's homicide is connected to recent gang-related gun violence, Champaign Police spokesman Tom Yellick said on Monday. The incident happened days after CPD took the uncommon approach of releasing the names and photos of six alleged gun offenders who have arrest warrants and are associated with gangs. Police reiterated their request for any surveillance video footage of the area where Mr. Hopkins was shot. Yellick declined to disclose whether police had received any videos as of Monday, saying only public support is still requested. To reach the News Gazette at any time, remember you can call us or call them at 800-660-READ, that's R-E-A-D, or their other local additional phone number is 217-351-5252. And as a follow-up to the NAACP award winner that we heard about earlier, Sahil Contractor, we have a piece called Honor Roll. The NAACP of Champaign County will present awards to five people or organizations at its annual Freedom Fund Banquet on Friday in Champaign. So I wanted to give you a little information about that. The honorees, whose stories we'll tell throughout this week, Freedom Fighter Award, Karen Sims, and she works at CU Trauma and Resiliency Initiative. The Interfaith Award, the Hope Center of Vineyard Church. The Unity in the Community Award, Sahil Contractor, business owner, who we read about today. Youth Advancement, Tracy Dace, that's D-A-C-E, of DREAM, Driven to Reach Academic Achievement for Males program. And the President's Award this year will be given to Audrey Keaton Mock of Unit 4 Schools. The next headline reads, Go Figure, a numerical look at local headlines. The first number, 90, 90. 90 Unit 4 students from Edison, Franklin, and Jefferson Middle Schools who will get a one-of-a-kind reward for finishing their homework. The assignment? To read the award-winning fantasy novel, Akata Witch, and issues of Marvel's Black Panthers comic book series. Their treat for doing so? The chance to learn from the acclaimed author of both, U of I grad Nnedi, that's N-N-E-D-I, Okorafor, during a Thursday writing workshop. Okorafor, a Nigerian-American writer of African-based science fiction and fantasy, will be in town for a 7 p.m. appearance that day at the Champaign Public Library. It's the fourth installment of the library's 2018 Great Author Series, which also brought to town Nikki Grimes, Colson Whitehead, and Luis Alberto Uria. How's this for good timing? Wednesday marks the debut of Okorafor's much-anticipated new Marvel comic, Shuri, and that's spelled S-H-U-R-I. The next numbers, 2 of 14. Local Connections among Gift of Hope's 2018 Life-Saving Partners Award honors, or award winners, excuse me, honored over the weekend in Oak Brook. Carl Critical Care Dr. Jimmy Moss, whose actions in June helped a woman in her 40s donate organs that saved three lives, the organization said. When the donor became medically unstable, a Gift of Hope organ recovery coordinator asked Dr. Moss if he could assist her and advise her on how to best make donation a viable option since it was so important to the donor and her family. Without a moment's hesitation, Dr. Moss spent most of his shift at the potential donor's bedside, offering his expertise and showing his determination to help offer hope to the woman's family. Ambassadors for Hope volunteer Lori Umbarger of Homer, whose remarkable story our Julie Worth told last October 24th. It has been 6 years since Umbarger lost 17-year-old son Brandon, whose donation saved four lives and sent Lori on a journey to continue helping others waiting for life-saving and life-enhancing organ and tissue transplants, Gift of Hope said. Lori has shared her story of loss and speaks about the healing benefits that donation brought to her family amid their tragedy. No event is too big or small for her. 1 p.m. When Atkins Tennis Center is expected to reopen today following what U of I officials called a major power outage. How major? When it first hit about 7:30 Monday morning, it affected a slew of other athletic facilities, the Ubben Basketball Complex, the Bielefeld Athletic Administration Building, and the baseball and softball fields. By a little after noon on Monday, power was restored everywhere but Atkins. The U of I said it will credit the accounts of anyone who paid for classes or court time during the affected period of Atkins, where the outage will take significant time to fix. And that article, or the Go Figure headline column, was written by Jeff D'Alessio. The next headline reads, Urbana City Council, Union Gardens vote deferred. This article is written by Adalberto Toledo and is based out of Urbana. The Urbana City Council voted Monday to approve a change to its zoning ordinances, but did not vote on two other items that would have allowed the Union Gardens housing development to move forward, instead deferring those decisions until its November 5th meeting. City rules say at least six of the eight council members must vote yes for approval of two annexation agreements needed before developer Trinitas Ventures can break ground on 400-plus units catered toward students and young professionals in an area straddling the Champaign-Urbana line north of both cities. Alderman Aaron Ammons and Dean Hazen were both absent for those votes Monday, so they were delayed for another 2 weeks. The City Council did vote 4-2 to approve rezoning the area of the planned development that's currently within city limits for multifamily housing. Hazen was absent for that vote. Ammons, attending the first part of the meeting via phone, voted no. Alderman Jared Miller was the other no. Still, community members filled the council chambers to voice their opposition to the project, with Charisse Hersey pleading for the council to reconsider. Hersey said she was offended by a lack of urgency in bringing a grocery store to North Urbana, as well as Miller's comments that students don't think anything exists north of University Avenue. For decades, the Black community has adapted to there not being a grocery store on the North End, she said. What I see is that the North End is a food desert. It would behoove our community to proposition the council to actually work on making that happen. If the city is going to continue to add population to the North End, Hersey said the council has to prioritize getting a full-service grocery store for the area. She said she'd settle for a Trader Joe's. Mayor Diane Marlin said she couldn't agree more, and Alderman Bill Brown even noted future opportunities to build commercial real estate near the Carver Park subdivision. But the thought of bulldozers and dump trucks traversing her street has Jackie Curry fervent in her denouncement of the Union Gardens project. The heavy trucks, bulldozers, and other equipment coming through early in the morning and leaving late at night won't disturb you at all, she told council members. Don't worry, it's not your backyard. The next headline reads, Fisher Village Board, long wait in store for permit request. This article is based out of Fisher and is written by Carol Thilmoni for the News Gazette correspondent. A solar company will have to wait a while to learn if its request for a special use permit within the Fisher Village limits will be granted. Both the Planning and Zoning Commission and the Village Board have continued their meetings to 2 weeks from now to further consideration. Some 100 people attended last week's zoning meeting and were nearly uniform in their objection to construction of the solar farm on agricultural land just south of the grade school, and another half dozen reiterated their displeasure to the Village Board. Chad Graham attended both meetings. He told the board that he has secured legal counsel who will represent 53 residents, many who live in the subdivision near the proposed farm. He plans to submit Freedom of Information requests for any correspondence between the village and Novel, that's N-O-V-E-L, Novel Energy, which proposed the farm to the village board in August. Several residents told the board they believe the best use of the ground is for housing. Royal Springer said he sees the solar farm as a possible eyesore, adding that it could become a rodent habitat and that he expected the wind would whistle between the solar panels. The next headline reads, Ford County Sheriff's Office, school bus driver ticketed an accident. This article is based out of Paxton and is written by Will Brumley for the Ford County Record. The driver of a Paxton-Buckley Lota school bus that was carrying six students when it was involved in a collision with a car at a rural intersection last week has been ticketed for failure to reduce speed to avoid an accident. Ford County Circuit Court records show that Donald V. Berkland, age 79, of rural Paxton, was issued the ticket following the Thursday accident in Patton Township at the intersection of Ford County Roads 200 North and 2000 East. A report from the Ford County Sheriff's Office said the accident occurred around 4:05 p.m. when Berkland was driving a 2010 Bluebird bus owned by Coal City-based Illinois Central Truck Leasing. According to the police report, the bus was headed south on County Road 2000 East when it slowly rolled into the middle of the intersection and stopped there. While the bus was in the intersection, it was struck on its passenger side fender by an eastbound 2017 Ford Focus. The police report said the car's front bumper struck the bus's front bumper, front passenger side tire, and front fender, causing damage to both vehicles. The driver of the Focus had the right-of-way, the report said. There are no traffic control signs at the intersection on County Road 200 North, but there are stop signs for traffic on County Road 2000 East. There were six children riding in the bus, and none was injured, according to the PBL Superintendent Cliff McClure. All of the children were examined at the scene by paramedics before being released to their parents, the police report said. Berkland also was not injured and was able to drive the bus from the scene, the report said. On NewsGazette.com morning show, Russell Burr, that's B-U-H-R, area farmer on Friday snowfall. Sometimes that snow gets in the crops. There was a lot of beans to be cut yet. That snow gets on that stuff and it takes a while for that to come back out. Seems like it takes longer than it does rain. For our entire menu of podcasts, in case you missed that one and want to also hear other ones, you can visit News Gazette's website and click on the word podcasts. I'm Susan Muirhead, and this has been the reading of part one of the News Gazette, dated for this date, Tuesday, October 16th, 2018. We'll resume with part two of the News Gazette shortly, so we hope you stay with us. Thanks very much for listening, and we hope you have a wonderful day.